Good morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to Norrell Toyota. Really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job of that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
Sure. Hopefully I can do a better job. I don't know. My name is Michael Seeger, and I've been in the community now for about 5 years. My day job is as Vice President of Air Service and Commercial Development for the Fort McMurray Airport Authority that operates the international airport.
There we go. Now, last time you and I were speaking, you went on a holiday to go look at some cars.
Yes. Last time was Formula One. Yeah. I was going to Austin, Texas to see the Formula One race.
How,
it was quite the experience.
How was that?
It was incredible. It was, we had decent seats and we're able to celebrate like the whole weekend. So we, instead of just going for the race, we went for everything. So every single day, early in the morning, staying till late at night. Incredible. I didn't realize that Formula One was so wrapped into the concert scene as well. So on the two nights there, we had Green Day the one day, which was like the opening act the one day, which was pretty cool, right? And then it was, I'm trying to remember who it was the next day. He was an even bigger star, but now I just draw a blank.
Okay.
Can't remember.
And so when you're going to these Formula One races, like I watched the series on Netflix.
Yes.
And so you do have like the day one, day two, day three,
yes,
the race day.
Yeah.
So when you say you went to all the things, like what are the things?
Yeah, so there's another race circuit, a race series that follows Formula One. So you've actually got that series happening at the same time. In ours, because it was the United States, it was the it was kind of a Can-Am Cup. So it was all of the old cars from, you know, the Camaros and Ferraris and Porsches and all that kind of stuff from the years back, which was kind of cool. In Europe, it's the Porsche Cup, so that follows along some of the European races. But it was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So we saw all of the qualifying days, the practice sessions, the qualifying days, then the actual race, and then the concerts at night. So it was pretty cool.
So when you're sitting at the race, do you pick a section of the track, or like how, or do they assign you a section of
track? You purchase the place that you want to sit at. So we, being our first one, we kind of thought, okay, let's get seats that we have seats the whole weekend. So we kind of booked in a grandstand. We kind of picked an area that we thought we wanted to be on, which ended up being really good. So we had our set seats assigned for the whole weekend. But I probably, if I went back to Austin, there was enough places with open grass where you can just get a general admission and just find your way to somewhere else. Probably a lot less expensive, which is great. But for the first time, it was nice to have our assigned seats, so it was cool.
Yeah. So since then, have you attended another F1 race?
We have not yet.
Okay.
No, we're planning, but with all the things happening in the world right now and challenges and just work and everything else, we haven't picked one yet.
Yeah.
But I think the next one we go, we'll probably, I'll let my wife pick. Pick a place that she wants to go to, and then we'll enjoy a race as well.
So right.
It's probably going to be Barcelona. So.
Okay.
There's your driver.
My driver used to be a Sebastian Vettel. Now that Lewis has left and gone to Ferrari, I'm actually really enjoying Kimi Antonelli, 18-year-old kid. He's the new star. He's going to be the next, you know, star in the future, and he's already scored 22 points in the first two races, so he's a good kid. So,
where did your love of racing come from? Because you're in an industry which is flight, but like you're very passionate about something with wheels. So.
I've always enjoyed racing. My dad, years back, we kind of did a lot of racing with Porsches and stuff. And this is back when there were 356Bs and stuff like that. So this is back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And his friends at Mossport Park in Ontario, he had a lot of friends that were race car drivers. So they would often see me as a young kid and put me in the car and take me for a run around the track. So I started enjoying that, and I've always had an appreciation for cars, so I always just kind of waste lots of money on cars.
That's so
much
cool.
To my wife's agreement.
Planes have wheels, by the way.
Yeah, I guess
they
so.
They do, yes. And they're a hell of a lot faster.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
So I know we talked about this last time, but I just forget, so I'm going to ask again.
Sure.
With your love of cars, you must have a car. So
I do. Yeah.
What is your, like, Yeah. The one car that you're just like, no, that's my car.
My one car is I have a classic 2003 Porsche 911 C4S, so an all-wheel drive. That one I use on the weekend. It's an all-wheel drive, so I actually use it all winter long. But and I think, remember the last time we chatted, I had an old Mercedes, a 1990 Mercedes, right?
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
my winter car.
Yeah.
I finally decided to let that go. So it was taking up space in the garage and stuff. So
yeah.
that car is just sold out as of a month ago. So now the other car's out and just enjoying. So,
time for a new one.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what do you got your eye on?
No, I've been warned already. So no.
It's funny, our wives keep us out of trouble.
Yes, they do.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yep.
So as far as the airport,
yes.
what's new and exciting taking place in
sure.
that industry?
Yeah, good things at the airport right now. We just announced probably about a month ago, we announced a whole new schedule, which was 10 extra flights a week. So we're up to 61 flights a week starting in May, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
We've got great connection to Calgary, Edmonton, and of course Toronto. So I think for a community our size to be connected that way to those three big hubs to get anywhere else in the world mm-hmm. is pretty good. Mm-hmm. But myself and the team are working hard to continually find new routes, direct routes. Some of the challenges happening in the States right now have made it a little bit more difficult to secure those direct flights into the United States. Las Vegas, because of our community demographic, is still the number one place people want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying we won't have a flight someday, we're working on it, but right now we just don't.
Yeah.
Other places are more domestic, like Vancouver and more to Toronto is always good. And yeah, it's just keeping at it and working hard and we're being supported by the community, which is good.
Nice.
And I always see, more.
But, that's right. And I see a lot of like the area around the airport people are moving in. We had one gentleman, Ed Granger, actually, that came in.
He's my favorite guy to talk about.
Yeah, he's cool. So you're seeing infrastructure going around the airport in regards to businesses. Can you?
Yeah,
That shocked me when he said that's where he's at. So
Sure. I mean, that story is actually really cool. And if you haven't done an interview with Ed, you probably have already.
Yeah,
but he's phenomenal. We've got a business park there called Snow Eagle Aviation Park. It's a business park that's in and around the old North Terminal. That's been there for years, and we're at about 96% full. I've still got a few lots, lay down yards, things like that, are for lease, but pretty much full. So it's got lots of tenants in there, and there's a real good mix of people in the aviation business, people are just, Robbie's towing and welding guys and stuff like that. So a good mix of people out there.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the most exciting news coming up is the North Terminal, which has been vacant for many, many years, is now going to be full. So we have leased it out on a fairly long-term lease to, now you're going to laugh, Uncle Wiener's.
Okay.
Uncle Wiener's, do you guys know what Uncle Wiener's is? He's smiling. Wiener's is a wholesale company. They have about 20 some odd stores in Canada, in Western Canada. They do like wholesale stuff. So they do like tents and awnings and from frying pans to generators to all these different kind of things. Yeah. Almost like a Princess Auto, a lot of those kind of products. And a lot of people love them. So it's all bulk stuff. And they bring things in from a sea can. They sell the contents of the sea can.
Yeah.
And then they sell the sea can. So it's a great business model. And they're going to do really well.
I've always wanted to own a sea can.
Well, you'll be able to buy one at Uncle
Lane's. Are you serious?
Serious, yeah.
My wife is
garden sheds and everything else. Yeah.
We're not going to air this episode.
There you go.
My wife and my son are going on a trip to Ireland in a few weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go out of my way not to air this episode until they're gone. Because I'm going to be looking into that.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's
what
pretty cool.
Cool.
Wife comes home and you just have a sea can in the yard.
Yeah,
that's kill right. you.
Yeah. Oh, she would kill me. I'm not going to buy it, but.
So that's cool. And Uncle Wiener's going to be the neighbor to Ed Granger. So Ed Granger, great story there. You know the story. He brought in a vertical farming and was trying to find a place somewhere in town to put it. And wasn't having much success until him and I kind of connected. And we found a way to make it work. And now he's growing. And he sells his product on Wednesdays online, and you pick it up at two different stores on Thursdays. And I'm one of his clients. I buy fresh lettuce every week, so it's awesome.
Yeah,
for a town like this to have fresh stuff.
That's
awesome.
Right, and it lasts forever.
I
was shocked.
2-3 weeks easy.
Right? I didn't think that was I didn't think it was possible.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah,
you gotta see, if you haven't been to his facility, you got to see the facility. Well, when
you get lettuce from the store, it's already like a week and a half old.
It can be.
Yeah.
Not with Ed. Ed's literally plucking it off of the vertical farm and packaging it and selling it to you a day later.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
You have that whole week and a half time frame that it took to ship.
Facts. It was in my fridge forever, and I felt bad because I just didn't get around to eating it, and I was like, oh, this is going to go to waste.
Yeah, no.
And then it was still there.
Oh, yeah.
Holy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He gave us these, if you ever have a chance to try it,
they
were these yellow little, like, flowers.
Yeah, that's his calling card. He always puts edible flowers on top of the lettuce you buy.
But this made your mouth numb.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, it was the weirdest, coolest sensation I've
ever. Yeah, it was odd.
It was on.
Yeah.
Nice.
So how did you hook up with him? How did that relationship?
We just connected. He's a fireman by trade, and I think he has EMT and stuff, and he's out at Station Hall 5 a lot, where my wife works as the director of emergency management out there, acting director right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of connected, and I'm not sure where I actually met him, but we started talking about it, and the passion that he has for that vertical farming stuff that he's doing,
mm-hmm.
and doing it in this community, because we always almost lost him. He couldn't find a place. He was going to go to Lac La Vish, I think, at one point.
Mm.
But we got a place. He's here, and he's growing, and literally growing, pardon the pun.
Yeah.
And I think he's actually going to extend and add some more sea cans and just do more stuff. So
very cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
So a lot of your success in this community is because you are so active in this community. Before we started filming, I was like, how often do you get to leave the airport? And you're like, all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's not everybody's management style. Like, everybody manages differently.
Yeah,
some people sit in their office, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, yeah.
Where did you get your management style or kind of your philosophy on how you work from the position you have?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think you change as you go through your career. I'm knocking on 56 years old, so I've been through all the different versions of what management looks like, and I've kind of changed myself over the years.
Mm-hmm.
My style now, I would say, has finally come to a point where it's about the work you're doing, not the time you're putting into it. I think it's a matter of just knowing what your schedule is, knowing the appointments that you have, and keeping to those, but leaving some free time in your own calendar. One of the biggest things I do, and I think my team knows this at the airport, is I have about an hour put aside every single day for me time. And it's either a time where I go for a walk and just, you know, clear my mind of a project that I'm working on, or specifically work on a project without interaction and interruptions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I always give myself that locked in time, and I just kind of work on a schedule that makes sense and works. There's no rhyme or reason to 9 to 5 anymore. Sometimes it's 7:30 to 3, sometimes it's 6:30 to 6. Like, it's just whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
When you're working hard at something and you're enjoying what you're doing, you put longer hours into it.
Yeah.
But it's not about the hours you're putting into it, it's about the quality of what you're doing. So
right.
I think my style hopefully plays out with all the people that work with me as well. They get that sense that it's about the projects you're doing, the passion you have for it.
Yeah.
And we don't have clock punchers.
No.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so with your moving around Fort McMurray, what about this community has surprised you?
Yeah. You know, everything about this community surprised me. When my wife Erin and I came here 5 years ago, didn't know what to expect, but that's almost not a fair statement, because we thought what we would expect.
Right.
We think Fort McMurray's going to be a certain kind of town.
Yeah.
You get here and it's very different. We're golfers, so we embrace the golf life very quickly, and so we do that for the entire summer. The summers here are incredible. But it's still a town where if you make an effort, it comes back to you. If you don't make an effort, you're going to leave this town within 2 years and say, oh, I hated it. But if you actually make an effort to make friends, get out, enjoy what's happening in the community, it's an awesome community. The balance is incredible. I've lived in Calgary, Edmonton, and Fort McMurray, originally born in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hold that against me. I still have a Leafs jersey in the closet. It's nice and clean. It'll probably never come out. But
where Leaf fans belong.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly, right? So Calgary's a phenomenal city. Like, all of Alberta is great, but Calgary's one way, and then Edmonton's a little bit different, and then Fort McMurray takes it to another of a level. And when people say, well, how can you qualify that? And the best thing I can say is I have friends in Calgary, and had friends in Calgary, but I don't have a lot of them anymore.
Right.
I had friends in Edmonton that, up and down, doesn't matter what's happening in the economy, some, you know, your friends were still your friends, and it didn't matter if they lost your job, you still, you know, you do things together.
Mm-hmm.
Fort McMurray, I've made the friends that will be my retirement friends, the people that we already know, they're locked in, and they're the ones that when I leave this community, they're still in my life.
That's
and
so
I can't
cool.
say that about all the ones in Calgary and Edmonton,
right.
just because the way it is, it's
That's
more
right.
driven, it's more, I don't know. We worked just as hard here as anyone else, sometimes harder because of the conditions and the weather and, you know, just what it takes to survive up here, but
mm-hmm.
But yeah, you just you, what you put in, you get back.
That's right. No, that's
pretty
so
standard.
Cool.
You know, it's But
so where you're from? I used to spend my summers in Toronto.
Yeah.
Most of my family who's immigrated from South America, like most immigrants, Toronto.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I've spent a lot of time there, and I went back last summer thinking and telling my son, "Oh, my dad knows Toronto. I used to be here all the time."
Yeah.
The expansion of that city in the last 7 years, I had, like, it was shocking. So from somebody who grew up there and now going back, I have to assume you visit.
I often.
From your point of view, like, what the heck do you think about that?
Yeah, I love Toronto, but Toronto's become the place I love to visit. I don't think I would ever move back to, I know I will never move back to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too big now. And it's probably systematic of living in Calgary, then living in Edmonton, and then living in Fort McMurray. You get used to a smaller you know, fishbowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
I prefer that. I don't want to spend 45 minutes in the car waiting to get to work. I live way up, you know, north of the bridge and in Stonegate there, and I'm at the airport in 22 minutes in the morning. So that I like.
I
don't want to be sitting in a car for 45, but it's just too busy. So much like Vancouver, I love Vancouver. It's probably my favorite Canadian city to visit. Toronto's kind of the same way now. Love to visit, couple days, do some shows, get out.
I couldn't believe it.
It's
huge. Or when you're on the 401 driving from downtown to Pearson, you're driving through buildings now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was like I was in the Jetsons.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Yeah, like the Sky Dome, as I know it, or whatever it's called now, Rogers Place, whatever.
Yeah.
It was by itself in a field when it was first built.
And okay.
There was no real buildings around it. Now it's surrounded.
Yeah.
And the CN Tower, same thing.
Yeah. And around the CN Tower, like, that's somewhere that every summer I would go just around that area.
Yeah.
And now they've turned it into this thing. They have speakers within the trees and...
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice sitting areas, and it cost so much to go up. And the lineup.
Yeah.
It's like my son, for the first time, like, "You and your mom, you can go. I'm just going to sit down here and wait." But they've created this atmosphere that was so cool.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, wow, because Toronto always had a vibe.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. But now they've incorporated it with music and people and things like within the area.
Oh, yeah. The culinary scene is off the charts. It's one of the best in Canada. And I mean, when I was a kid, when I lived there, you know, when I was a teenager and I was mucking around on the weekends, all the buddies, we'd walk up and down Yonge Street.
Yeah.
I don't even recognize Yonge Street anymore. And that was the thing to do when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Now I don't even recognize it. The Eaton Center is swamped by all these other buildings now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's not the same.
So, have you ever been to Caravana?
Yes.
Yeah?
Years ago.
Explain to me that, what you thought about Caravana.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's an incredible... any festival you have that's celebrating another culture is incredible, right? And Caravana just takes it to another whole level. It's like the festivals in Brazil and everything else. It's pretty cool. The music is intense. The food is awesome. The people are super friendly. And that's a very big part of the culture in Toronto, in that whole area as it is.
So
It's great.
Yeah,
it's great.
Cool.
Yeah, worth going to Toronto for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, on one of our direct flights.
Yeah.
Gotta weave that back in there.
That's right. No, my mom and dad are, like, from Guyana, and so they would part... My mom, not my dad, my mom would participate in Caravana.
Oh, okay.
And so...
Cool, well, that's different.
Oh, it's different, all right? Like, as a kid, especially in adolescence, I'm going down to Caravana, like, I just, like, oh, man, I love this. I just love this.
Yeah. The costumes are
the costumes.
Charts.
And all of a sudden, your mom comes down one of those costumes, you're like, you know what, this is not that cool anymore.
It ruined it for you.
It ruined it for me. I was just like, you know, let's just, like, fast forward this float right by me.
This is why your mom did it.
Yeah, my exactly. mom, my aunties just come down, like, wish you wouldn't.
Crazy.
But, like, that was the thing about Toronto, like, Fort McMurray now is very multicultural.
Yes,
and, like,
very much
so. I love it.
Yeah, it is.
But when I grew up here, that was not the case.
Yeah,
and
it's changed.
And Toronto for me was the multicultural, like, epicenter of the world, and I'd get to go there and I'd eat Greek food and all of a sudden have sushi.
Go to Little Italy.
It's
incredible.
So that must have, like, changed your viewpoint on the world growing up somewhere that was so diverse.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it gives you... That's what I grew up in, so I got a sense of how it was growing. And, of course, Toronto and that whole area was growing very quickly, so you saw all that. And then it wasn't until you come out to Calgary that you kind of get a very different... You know, when they talked about Calgary being more laid back, it definitely was. And different vibe, but a cool one, too, right? It's very different from Toronto. And, of course, Calgary now is also a very large city and has lots of things to do. And same with Edmonton. And, so it's... But when I look at now the last, 50 some odd years. It's Alberta is where I want to be now.
Yeah.
If you ask me if I'm retiring here,
yeah,
probably not.
No.
Probably not. I'll probably do what most people do. I'll head into BC, but
okay.
But, I've got family there, so it's probably that'll drive me there first, and then I'll probably just end up staying there. So.
Are you thinking the island or mainland?
Kelowna.
Kelowna area.
Yeah, Kelowna gives me the balance and golfing and
yeah,
it gives me the things that I want and the lake and it's pretty cool.
Okay,
And there's a lot of Albertans there, so you kind of feel like you're at home. Right?
It's it's kind of Fort McMurray.
It's overridden by Albertans.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah.
Like I honestly have never been. My bad. I know.
You've never been to Kelowna.
Never. I get grief about this all the time.
Okay. When we get a direct flight,
yeah,
you're the first one I'm calling to say you have to get on this plane and fly to Kelowna.
Deal. I'm going to hold you to it.
It's on camera.
Yeah. Anyways, Tanner just stopped his watch. That means we're out of time.
Alrighty.
Before I cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout out or plug.
Yes.
So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
You know what? Normally I talk about the airport, and I always will talk about the airport. We appreciate everyone using the airport. But for today, I'm going to say embrace this community. If you're brand new and you just moved here, embrace the community. The community will embrace you. And the last thing I'm going to say, because it would drive me nuts, is I finally remembered who it was that I saw at the concert.
Okay.
It was Ed Sheeran.
Oh!
How do you forget Ed Sheeran, right? Yeah. So there you go. Thank you.
Okay, no worries. Well, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for tuning in. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Neural Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker. I hope everybody's having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Hi, everyone. It's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.